Now we're in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, and we're in chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Or, as it is in the New International Version of the Bible, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. So the Apostle Paul here has entered into a section of his letter which is about prayer. And there's no more important subject, I suppose, in the whole Bible than the subject of prayer. And so we must learn all that we can from these verses. He has been talking, of course, of our warfare, the great fight in which we are engaged against this tremendous evil one. He's spoken of the power that is ours in Christ and the protection in the armour of God. But now he says, pray, and pray in the Spirit. And so for these two Sunday mornings, last week and this, we are especially considering what does it mean to pray in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? Jude refers to it again. In his letter he says in the 20th verse, "You, dear friends, build up yourselves in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." Well, the clue to it is given to us in the previous chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians 5:18, where the very same phrase is used. Although it's translated with, in the Greek it's the same phrase, "be filled with the Spirit." And we saw that that meant you should be under the control continually of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control you. Don't let wine, alcohol control you, but be filled with. Keep on letting yourselves be filled, controlled by the Spirit. So to pray in the Spirit is to have your prayers and mine inspired by the Spirit, energized by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, sustained by the Spirit when we feel like giving up. Now, we considered it last week under these points, and then we'll go on this week. First of all, we said that if we are praying in the Spirit, our prayers will be directed aright. We are told to pray to the Father through the Son, by the Spirit. So if we're praying by the Spirit, we shall pray through the Son to the Father. The one mediator between God and man is the Lord Jesus Christ. We come through him to God the Father. We shall therefore pray always with reverence, and we shall pray with confidence. That lovely balance which is Spirit-filled praying, always remembering who he is. Hallowed be thy name. May your name, O God, my Father, be held in reverence. But with confidence, because he is our Father. Secondly, we shall pray with sincerity and reality. This is no longer a case of saying our prayers. It's praying. Behold, he prays. Something from the heart. In public, or in the group, or in the prayer gathering, it's not preaching. It's not performing. It is leading in prayer, but it's leading in prayer those whom we are gathered with, if we're speaking out loud and taking the lead. So it's in sincerity and reality. Thirdly, it's mindful of others. As here, where the Apostle Paul says we should pray for all the saints and for him. And this is always true of Spirit praying. We are anxious in the private place to pray for other believers, and we're also anxious to pray with other believers. Fourthly, it will be biblical, because the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. So if we're praying in the Spirit, he will lead us to the Bible. And if we are reading the Bible in the Spirit, he will lead us to prayer. The two will go together. And our prayers will reflect what we have learned from the Bible, not necessarily by quoting from memory texts, But what we have learned will take root in our lives and will reflect itself in our spiritual praying. Fifthly, we shall pray believing. We learned on Thursday from James 1, 6 and 7. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt, or else he's double-minded and unstable. So if we're praying in the Spirit, we obviously will believe that God's promises are true and that God will hear and answer our prayers in his own way and in his own time. Sixthly, praying in the Spirit is praying when we do not feel like it. Now, this was our last point last week, and I want it to be underscored again this week. So turn to Romans 8, because you don't really need to have Ephesians 6:18 open, because it's only the phrase pray in the Spirit. Whereas I do want us to look again at this special passage, Romans 8 and verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You see, some people have had the idea that if you're praying in the Spirit, you will therefore feel like it. Now, that is sometimes true. And we long for that. We long for that touch of the Spirit in our hearts, and we'll come back to this at the end, so that prayer is a joy. So that we want to pray. So that we can hardly stop praying. But we would be very unwise and very unbiblical if we confined Spirit-filled praying to that. Sometimes I'm suggesting it's the opposite. We are praying in the Spirit when we are praying when we don't feel like it. We are weak. We grow tired. We want to go to bed. And whilst we have the power and the strength to stay up to watch the program on television, it's amazing how we haven't got the power and strength to pray. If the Spirit says, pray, oh, I'm too tired to pray. But if someone says, in my case, it's the cricket highlights on in a minute, oh, I just have revived a little bit. Just with sufficient energy in order to watch the cricket highlights or the match of the day or whatever it is. In your case, I don't know what it is, Count Dracula or whatever. It may be the same in the morning. I'm not at my best in the morning. Like Snoopy, I'm allergic to mornings. And it isn't really the best time for me to pray. But I've got energy to eat my breakfast, and I've got energy to do this and that and the other, and it's amazing how I can concentrate to read the newspaper. But prayer is difficult. Now, this is why we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Not to blame him for our sloth. He's not given to us to encourage us to be lazy. But he is very gracious, and he does understand our weakness, and he does say, come on, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me help you. You have to have the victory over this laziness. You have to have the victory over this disinclination. You don't feel like praying, but you're going to pray. You're going to get down on your knees and pray. And I'm going to help you to pray. But God seems a million miles away. He may seem it, but he isn't. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, the Spirit says, from the word and the letter of James. Do you believe it? Yes, I believe it. Is the Bible inspired? Yes, it's inspired. Does it say draw near to God? It does. Is it a command? It is. What will he do? He'll draw near to me. Are you waiting for him to draw near to you before you draw near to him? No, I'm not. I'm going to draw near to him. Right, says the Spirit, come on. I'll help you. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't feel like going to the prayer gathering. I don't feel like going to church tonight. I've had a long, hard day. And I'm tired. And I've had my meal. And I just feel like putting my feet up. Besides, there's the garden to deal with. There's this to do and that to do. Come on, says the Spirit. Overcome that weakness. Get the victory in the Spirit. You don't live in the flesh anymore. You live in the Spirit. You've got a power now that I will give you that will help you to overcome that. To pray when you don't feel like it. You're shy in the prayer group. But God will help you to overcome that shyness and to pray. Don't need fancy language. The Spirit doesn't require fancy language. He prays in the language of the person that's praying. He'll help you to pray to God sincerely and in reality. Now that is a very important passage in Romans 8. And as we said last week, there are just times when we are so low, when we are so depressed, when we are so down, when we can only groan, the Spirit prays. The Spirit prays. And there are even times when we are even beyond groaning and the Spirit prays. The Lord Jesus never stops, and then the Spirit prays. He will never do for us what we should be doing. He'll help us to do it. But when He knows we just can't do it, then He will do it. But now we go on to intelligent and specific. If you're praying in the Spirit, and if I am, our praying, I would suggest, will be intelligent and specific. In other words, it's not to be confined to speaking in tongues, as some people have sometimes confined it. They have suggested that Spirit praying, praying in the Spirit, is praying in tongues. But it's not to be confined to that. Because the Apostle Paul says, make prayers and requests. We're going to come on in a fortnight's time when I'm back from Keswick to the four alls of this verse. Requests. Intelligent, specific praying. Pray for all the saints. And as we shall see, that means what it says. It means that you pray for people by name. Pray also for me, he says in the next verse. And then he tells them what he wants them to pray for him. That whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which an ambassador in chains. I'm not so concerned that you pray that I'll get out of prison, but I do want you to pray that I might be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ and preach the word. So you see, that isn't praying in tongues, is it? It's praying in their language, intelligently and specifically. And so I would say this is another mark of Spirit praying. Intelligently and specifically, not in generalities. Now, there are times to pray in generalities, of course. God bless the nation. That's a kind of generality. But I think God wants us to use our minds. And the Spirit will help us to pray specifically. What do I mean? Well, if we're praising God, let's praise Him for certain things. Lord, I praise You. And God says, what for? What are You praising me for? And then we're to think about it. His attributes, His deeds, His mighty works, His grace, His holiness, His majesty, His love. Father, I've come to say thank You for all the things that You have given to me. And He says, what things? Well, Father, I'm thanking You for my material blessings. What material blessings? You see, it's good for us to remember that 2/3 of the world don't have enough to eat. One, that we might pray for them and be compassionate towards them and do something about it. And two, that we might not be greedy. And three, that we might stop grumbling. And so God says, what are You thanking Me for? Count Your many blessings, He says. Name them one by one. And then there's confession. Oh God, I am sorry for my sins. And He says, what sins? Oh well, I must have committed a lot of sins. What sins? And the Spirit within us will say, you were jealous today. And so we say, Father, I'm sorry I was jealous today. And the Spirit within us will convict us of our unkindness, and we say, I'm sorry, Father, I was unkind today. Or I'm sorry for those words that passed my lips when my tongue was uncontrolled. I'm sorry I was lazy today. I'm sorry I was deceitful today. I'm sorry I was lustful today. I'm sorry I lost my temper today. I've grieved the Spirit. And he would say, be specific. Fourthly, if we're petitioning God and asking for things, then let's be specific again. Here was a blind man in Jericho. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, Jesus knew perfectly well what was wrong with him. But Jesus said, what would you that I should do for you? There he was, feeling his way through the crowd. It was pretty obvious, wasn't it? But Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, that I might receive my sight. And he healed him. Beloved, be specific in your prayers. God says, what do you want me to do for you? You're praying for someone else. What do you want me to do for them? This is Spirit-filled praying. We're on number one at the moment of today's message. Right, next. I had this trouble last week. Like Christ, intelligent and specific. Like Christ. You see, you can't be more right than the Lord Jesus. So let's make a study of his prayers. That's why I read the whole of John 17. You see, Luke 10:21, here is the Lord Jesus praying and thanking God for sovereign grace. I've met a few people who can't follow in his footsteps with that, in that regard. They gnash their teeth at the doctrine. But Jesus rejoiced. It's the only time in the Gospels that I know of where it speaks of Jesus full of joy. It says, in the Spirit, Jesus full of joy said, Father, I thank you that you have not revealed these things unto the wise and understanding, i.e. the worldly wise, but unto children. For such was your gracious will. No one can know the Father except those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Great stuff, isn't it? That's Spirit praying. And I believe, I just say this as a word of testimony, when God by his grace taught me that he saved me, and that he chose to save me in the mystery of his sovereign grace before ever the world was made and before ever I was born, and that I owe my salvation from first to last, from everlasting to everlasting, to him, I began to thank him in the Spirit like I'd never thanked him in the Spirit before. Study this great truth, beloved. John 17, the holy place. You have it there again. When the Lord Jesus prays for himself, for his disciples whom the Father had given to him, and for all believers who should come to him through their preaching who had been given to him. Luke 22:42, the holy of holies place. The Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. The praying of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the so-called Lord's Prayer is not really the Lord's Prayer. It's the family prayer. Or it's the pattern prayer. These are the Lord's prayers, where we have it in, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recorded in Scripture, how he prayed. Next, if we pray in the Spirit, we shall desire God's will and we shall pray for his glory. We lead on to this from our Lord's Prayer. Not my will but thine be done. Now the first thing we have to say about this is that there will be no sin barrier. We can't want to the glory of God or pray for the will of God if ourselves we are wrong before God and we know it. If I had cherished sin in my heart, says David in Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Or the prophet Isaiah, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It isn't that he cannot hear, he will not hear, because you're not coming with confession for your sins. So, beloved, when you kneel to pray and I kneel to pray, let's search our hearts first of all. Is there anything, O God, which is causing you offence in my life? Is there anything which is grieving the Spirit and blocking the way for you hearing my prayers? Let me put that right so that I desire God's will first in my life and God's glory first in my life. That's the Spirit helping us to pray. You won't get any further. If you don't do that and I don't do that, there's really not much point going on praying. Is there? Because God says, well, never mind about that, never mind about that, never mind about that. What about this? Let's get that right. But then we always have to search our hearts that we really do want God's will and we want his glory. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. May your name be held in reverence. May your kingdom come, Heavenly Father, and your will be done. Now, why do we really want this money? Here we are praying, shall we say, for the God to give us some money, either as a church or in a family group or as an individual. But why do we really want it? Do we want it for his glory or not? Why do we want this healing? What if God will glorify his name more through my continuing to be ill? Am I prepared for that? Or must it be that I am healed? Because it's my comfort I want, not his glory. But what if he says, but I will glorify my name through your patience and testimony in your adversity? Are we prepared for that? That's praying in the Spirit. Why do we really want this healing? Listen to the Lord Jesus again praying. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. That's John 12, 26 to 28. You see? Shall I pray, Father, save me from this hour? He was thinking about the cross. He was going to the cross. His flesh was flinching from the cross. His spirit was flinching from it. Separation from the Father. The wrath of God upon his soul. Shall I pray, save me from this hour? No, he says. The Lord is allowing us to glimpse his own reasoning about prayer. No, but for this hour I came forth. That's why I've come. What shall I pray? Father, here's his great victory. Father, glorify thy name. And a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it. And I will glorify it again. And some said it thundered. And others said an angel spoke to him. But when we get into the Garden of Gethsemane, we actually do hear him praying, Father, save me from this hour, if it be possible. Jesus was never a robot. He was not a machine. He was a man. And his sweat was like drops of blood, my beloved friends, as you well know. But through it all, he triumphed and he said, Father, glorify thy name. If it is your will, as it is, for I came for this reason, to go through with this terrible blackness, then I'll go through with it. Thy will be done. And that's praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is not having any tug or problem or conflicting desires. It's triumphing over all other desires with this. Glorify thy name. That's praying in the Spirit. In sickness or in health. For better, for worse. Whatever you have appointed for me. Here is one in the private place crying for a spiritual gift. Now why is he or she crying and weeping and pleading for that particular spiritual gift? Is it for the glory of God? Or is it for self-glory? The gifts of the Spirit are given not for our glory, but for the edifying of the church. The gifts of the Spirit are given so that we might minister to others with the gift that He has given to us. Ministry gifts they are. Now let's tiptoe into the private place where someone is asking for a particular gift, either in the vestry or the bedside or with a friend or after the meeting. Why are they asking for this particular gift? I have never heard anybody weeping and crying and longing and searching and so on for the gift of being able to give liberally. But it's a spiritual gift. I'm not sure that I've ever heard of anybody crying and weeping and petitioning and storming heaven for the gift of being able to practice hospitality, or to give aid, or to be a help, or to have the gift of administration. But I have known people who have almost gone out of their minds asking God for a spectacular gift. So why could it be, and I say this gently, could it be that really the motive is not the glory of God, but the glory of self? Because if I have that gift, it puts me up one from certain others, or it seems to. It draws attention to me in the gathered church and in the meeting. I don't want a background gift, I want a foreground gift, God forbid. That's not the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, always pray for the glory of God. Next, if we're praying in the Spirit, it will be related to winning the lost. We shall always have this in the foreground. That's Paul's petition, not to get out of prison, but to preach the gospel. He puts it here after the sword of the Spirit with which we attack the devil, praying always in the Spirit. Often in the Acts of the Apostles we read of a connection between the Spirit and prayer and the going out with the gospel. Acts chapter 2. They were praying, they were tarrying, they were filled with the Spirit. What did they do? They went out and preached the gospel in the power of God. Acts chapter 4, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Spirit. What did they do? They preached the word of God boldly. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a connection between Spirit-filled praying and the preaching of the gospel. God is glorified, especially in the salvation of the lost. His power and His majesty are declared in the heavens, but His love and grace are declared in salvation. But finally, praying in the Spirit is praying earnestly. Earnestly. Says James, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain 3.5 years, and it didn't. And he prayed again that it would rain, and the heavens gave its rain and the earth produced its crops. Earnestly. A man just like us, but he prayed earnestly. What is this earnestness in prayer? Well, it isn't merely emotional praying. Or shouting. It might be. It might be. It might be praying with great fervency and moved with emotion. It may be praying loudly. But it might be whispering. It might be groaning. And that's still earnest. You see, there's nothing worse in a way than affectation. Saying, let's put something on and then we're doing it spiritually. We have noticed that people in the power of the Spirit do this and this and this, or they seem to be like this. So I will put that on, and then I'm in the Spirit. Not necessarily. God wants us to pray with earnestness. That is with sincerity and with meaning. If we praise, we praise with a full heart. If we are thanking him, we are thanking him with overflowing gratitude. If we confess, we confess with shame and with sorrow. And if we petition, we petition with fervency. We really mean it. Read the great prayers in the Bible. Abraham pleading for Sodom. Moses pleading for Israel. Please forgive your erring people for the sins that they have done with this golden calf. You have rightly punished them, O God, but please forgive them. Do not sweep them all away. And then he says, but if you cannot, then blot my name out of the book that you have written. What an amazing prayer. He puts his own salvation down on the line. And he says, if you can't forgive the people, then don't forgive me. If you're sending them to hell, then send me to hell. Oh, that's earnest praying. That's earnest praying. And Jacob, beside the brook Jabbok, about to meet with his brother, coming with 400 men. Oh God, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. And then that tremendous experience that he had with God, until he cried, I will not let you go until you bless me. That's earnest. That's earnest. Read the prayers of David. Read the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. Read the prayer of Elijah, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah. C.H. Spurgeon says this. Earnest praying is not filling the mouth with words, nor good phrases, nor pretty expressions, but filling the mouth with arguments, as the ancient saints were wont to argue in prayer. When we come to the gate of mercy, forcible arguments are the knocks of the rapper by which the gate is opened. What does he mean, forcible arguments? Well, he means that we plead on the grounds of the attributes of God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? How can you destroy a whole city when there are righteous people in the city? You are a righteous God. Pleading on the attributes of God. Pleading on the promises of God. That's why pray with your Bible open before you. And plead the promises of God. He doesn't mind. He loves to hear you do it and me do it. That's praying in the Spirit. Arguments. How can this be when the word says this? Plead the personal assurances of God. Jacob said, you promised to do me good. He wasn't being rude or blasphemous. God had said that. I will never leave you. I will bring you back to this land. I will do you good. Plead the glory of God. Plead the merits and work of Christ. Plead the compassion of God for his own and for the lost. My time has gone, but if you study the history of revivals, I'm sure you will find that back of there, the revival, there was somebody who was earnestly praying. For the 1948 revival in the island of Lewis, two spinsters who lived in a little cottage, one blind, the other bent double with arthritis, both in their 80s, couldn't get out to the meetings, but prayer warriors. And they had an assurance from God that he was going to visit the island with revival, and he did. They prayed earnestly, night and day. You know, you have these questionnaires, and some of you older ones, you think, well, what can I do? What can I put down on the questionnaire? Well, if you like, write this down. I will endeavour to be earnest in prayer. I will endeavour to be earnest in prayer. Now, I know it doesn't get any easier because you're in the later years. We younger ones, a man said to me this morning as I was walking down towards the church, he said, have you got the time, young man? So I was encouraged. We younger ones, we sometimes make a mistake. We think prayer will get easier as you get into your older years, but it doesn't always, does it? It doesn't always. And if you're blind and bent double with arthritis, it can be difficult also to pray. But this is one thing God's Spirit will help you to do. I will endeavour to be earnest in prayer. And if I can't get out to the meetings, I will endeavour to be specific and to pray in the Spirit, and beloved sister or brother, God will answer your prayer. Because he loves earnest praying. But we're not to leave it all to the older generation and the prayer warriors, though we thank God for them. We're all of us to be prayer warriors in the Spirit and to be earnest in prayer. We don't need fancy language or pretty expressions, as Spurgeon rightly says, but we're to lay hold of God. We're to be meaningful. We're to plead his promises. We're to prevail in prayer. We're to get through to him, and we're to get right on praying until we do get through to him. And God loves to answer prayer. And I think this town has yet to see what can happen when a church becomes a church of earnest prayers. May God grant it to us and to whatever towns are represented here this morning. For it is his glory that is at stake. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this great privilege we have, and we know not how to pray as we ought, and we are weak, and we neglect it. But we pray that you will aid us by the Spirit, not to make us lazy, but to make us prayerful. And help us, O God, to be earnest in our praying. And encourage us, we pray, by letting us know that you have heard and answered our prayers. Set the people a praying, for we ask it, for the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.